Have you ever felt intimidated? I'm sure you have. At some time or another, about something or another. Well, I want to share some information about that tonight and share a message about from intimidation to inspiration. I want you to turn, first of all, with me to the book of Numbers, chapter number 13. I'm going to read verses 26 through verse 33. This is just a short portion of the story that surrounded the sending over of the spies into the land of Canaan and bringing back a report to Moses and Aaron. This is just a little excerpt from that story. You know the whole story. We're just going to read some of these selected verses tonight. Numbers 13, verse number 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And they brought back some fruit to show. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, or giants, you'd say. Then the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, if you stop and think about all those people that surrounded Canaan, it was completely surrounded by heathen, wild people. And Caleb stands up and says, Let's just go up at once and let's just take the land. And I can imagine people thinking, well, what in the world is he thinking? Didn't he hear what the spies said? This land surrounded by wild, mean, warlike people, and he wants to go up at once and just get the land and possess it? Well, we know the story goes on. It didn't happen, did it? We today live in a scary land. Would you agree? We live in a scary land. We do. But you know something? Although we might live in a scary land, we don't have to live scared lives, do we? We can turn our intimidations into inspiration if we'll learn to trust the power of God and the provisions God has made for us. The key word in the study here is intimidation. Intimidation. Do you believe you can be intimidated? You sure you can? We know that Satan intimidates the world because he controls the world today. He intimidates all the peoples he can in the world. He intimidates every event that goes on that's got any good and wholesome effect to it. He's all about intimidating people. Now listen, that's the greatest tool I believe Satan uses against people today, is to cause us to doubt and to fear that the Lord is not able to take care of us. If he can get you to doubt God's power and to doubt God's provisions in your life, then he's got the battle won on you already, because the battle begins right between our ears, doesn't it? It really does. So there's all kinds of intimidation all around us. There's a great story in the Bible of Job. Everybody knows the story of Job, how intimidated he was. Poor old Job lost everything a man could lose in this life and still be alive. If anybody had a reason to cave in with fear and doubt God, it would have been Job, wouldn't it? But what do you find Job saying? Even after his wife, supposed to be the best friend on earth that he has, his helpmate, who should stand by his side and support him in all things, his wife even said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? But old Job said, no, no, no. You talk like a foolish woman. He said, Even if he slay me, yet will I trust him. So you couldn't intimidate Job beyond that. He never lost his trust in God. He never lost his faith in God. He never lost his dependence. And he never doubted that God was who he said he was. Well, if the devil can get you to doubt, intimidate you to doubt God, then he's won the victory over you already. You know, many people today are so intimidated about the future. I talk to people from time to time that are just almost wringing their hands, worried about the events of the future. Listen, why do you do that? Why would anybody do that? All I need to be concerned about is what's going on today. Tomorrow may not come. The future as I know it might be right now, and that's it. I may not live to see another sunshine rise. Neither would you. So why worry about the events of the future? We know who holds the future, don't we? It's in God's hands. God has held the past. God is in control of the present, whether we understand it or not. Some folks don't believe it. Nonetheless, it's true. God holds the past. God holds the present. And surely God holds the future. So why should we live an intimidated life? But many people worry about things like this. They worry about their family. You know, it's not that you shouldn't be concerned about your family, about your wives, husbands, your children, your grandchildren, and all your related extended family. We ought to be concerned about our families, but not to the point we just sit back, just wring our hands and worry ourselves into a frenzy. But some people worry about their families. They worry about their job situation. I know job situations today sometimes are very sketchy at the best. They tell us that most people today that has a job only remains in that job anywhere from 2 to 7 years. So you could used to make a career of a certain job you might have been into, and not today. They worry about families. They worry about their jobs. They worry about their future, this and that. And that list could just go on and on and on, that people worry about things that so intimidates them. They can't have any peace in the present for worrying about the future. We need, beloved, to refresh our thinking. Really, we do. Refresh our thinking about the things that really intimidate us today. We do live in a fallen world, and we know that our nation is governed by sinful men for the most part. There are some good politicians, no doubt. Some know the Lord. Some are trying to do what's right. But for the most part, our governing body of our nation is also fallen people. They're sinful people. We live in a very sinful world, fallen world today. Listen, we need to learn to find ways to turn our intimidations into inspiration. Now, I want to share with you two examples of that tonight. We just read about one. We'll read about one just a little bit later. Two good examples from the Word of God to look at how people were intimidated and look at the outcome that it was. Now, I want you to think about the word intimidation. The key word in the word intimidation is right in the middle of that word. It's the word timid. Fear. If the devil can cast fear in your life, he's got you defeated. That's right. Jesus tells us, fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the things of the kingdom. So don't worry about the intimidation. Worry about the timid, being afraid of things. Let's look at these examples. I've just read about one of them. I want you to look at the passage I just read in Numbers and look at a portion of that and look how intimidation just really is so challenging in our lives. Look at the example we have here. Israel had now been struggling for 2 years to get to the very base of Kadesh Barnea, get to the very, almost, you might say, the threshold of the land of promise. They had believed God. They had trusted God. And God had brought them thus far. They had traveled through the Sinai Peninsula, the desert, and through harsh conditions. And God had just brought them to the very threshold of, listen, a gift. The land of promise, Canaan. The land that flows with milk and honey. God had already promised them that He had already given them the land of Canaan, the promised land, as a gift. Now, they arrive at Kadesh Barnea, and Moses sends over 12 spies to spy out the land. Now listen, it didn't matter sending out the spies. It didn't change a thing because God had already given them the land anyway. But it's good to know, it was good for them to know what the land of Canaan might have looked like since they hadn't been there before. They hadn't seen the land of Canaan, didn't know what was involved in it. Well, it would be a good thing to see what really they're going to possess in the near future. Well, the 12 go over and they come back. And they bring some samples off some fruit, and the Bible explains how plentiful, how fruitful the land was. They bring back the fruit, and they bring back a report. 10 men out of the 12 spies bring back, the Bible says, an evil, bad report. Here's what they say. It was a kind of a twofold report. Well, you know, folks, it's really a good land. It really is. It's a fruitful land. It's a beautiful land. It does indeed flow with milk and honey. That's wonderful. But no, wait a minute. What we saw over there really intimidated us. And we feared to try to take that land because, you see, that land has high walls around the cities. That land has big cities, but they're walled with big high walls. There's big people over there. We saw the sons of Anak over there. We saw that land's filled with giants. And you know, it seems as if we're just no more than grasshoppers in their sight. Big walls, big people, warlike people. And we're just like grasshoppers. What they were saying was this. They were projecting into their almost immediate future what they saw in the present. All they could see was, if we go up and try to take that land, we're going to be slaughtered by those Canaanites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and all those others, the giants of the land. All they could see was, it is an impossibility to go over and take that land because the opposition's way too great. What they had seen was big cities, big walls, big people, and big problems, and a little God. Now we turn the situation around. Two of the 12, Joshua and Caleb, brought back a report, and you saw what Caleb said. He said, I'm excited. It's a wonderful land, just like God said. Let's go up at once. Let's not hesitate. Let's go get the land right now. And Joshua agreed 100%. And then, no doubt, intimidation set in. The 10 were intimidated by what they saw. Now the other two, Joshua and Caleb, saw the same things that the other 10 had seen. But they saw little cities, little walls, little people, little problems, and a big God. They said, listen, God's already promised us this land. God's given us this land. We should go over immediately and obey God and take the land. But you know what happened, don't you? So many times the majority rules and so many times the majority's wrong. This happened here. The 10 of the 12 were a majority, no doubt. And the 10 of these spies out of 12 won the day, and the people of Israel wept in their tents, the Bible says, all night long. And they refused to go into the land. The two who stood for the Lord were overruled, so to speak, and the 10 people intimidated the whole assembly of Israel. And listen, they caused the whole nation of Israel to wander 38 more years in the wilderness. And that whole generation from 20 years and up died in the wilderness and never got to set one foot in the promised land. They let fear and intimidation take over. All they could see was big cities, large walls, big people, and little God. Now, when these spies came back, now listen, they weren't captured over in Canaan. They had not been interrogated. They had not been, you know, tortured. They came back physically unscathed with a good report of the good things in the land. But the fear of what they saw so intimidated them. Well, Joshua and Caleb, I remind you again, saw the same things the other 10 saw. But what they did, now what the first 10 did, was projected into the future what they assumed would be a slaughter. Now, Joshua and Caleb also projected into the future what they saw. And they said, let's go in immediately and take the land. They were projecting what they saw on what they had seen God do in the past. God had already delivered 2.5 million Jews from Egyptian bondage for many, many hundreds of years. And they had seen this. They were a part of this. They said, God is able. God's given it to us. Let's go over and let's take it. Well, the ten evidently walked by sight and not by faith. The two, Joshua and Caleb, walked by faith and not by sight. And by the way, Joshua and Caleb were the only two out of that whole generation from 20 years and upward who ever got to enter the promised land. So you see how challenging situations can be. All you have to do is just kind of stop and look around you. And you can see all kinds of things that will just intimidate us and cause us to fear and cause us to take the negative attitude about things. We could just look at our world, see what a mess it's in, because I need to look up and see what a God I'm serving and know where this world's headed and know where I'm headed. We need to be like the Joshuas and the Calebs, don't we? So you got to watch. Intimidation is very, very challenging. If you find yourself walking by sight and not by faith, you're going to be intimidated and you're going to have the timid attitude and we're going to fear and be defeated, like the whole generation was here. A whole new generation had to grow up and then assume and then assimilate themselves into the promised land to receive the promise that God had made the former generation as well. So you see how intimidating it was for Israel, how intimidating it is for us today. You know, in many circles today, if you let it be known, or if it comes out on you, you're a Christian and you love the Lord, you're going to be intimidated. You're going to be mocked and made fun of, called all sort of names, and you'll be shunned by certain circles and certain groups and certain peoples. You can't let those things intimidate you. We've got to lift up our heads because our redemption is drawing near. Serve the Lord as best we can with God's help and just march on. Let us go in and possess heaven. Amen? Amen. Amen. So you see the challenging thing of intimidation here. But there's a story that goes along with this. It's the other side of this. I want you to see how intimidation can be conquered. Turn over with me to the book of Judges. Chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. This is a story. I'm going to look at just two verses, but you know the story so well. I'm not going to read all the verses because it's lengthy. It's a story about Gideon. And look at verse chapter 6 of Judges. Look at verse 15 and verse 16. God has called Gideon out to go to war with the Midianites and win the victory. And here's what Gideon's report is when God made it known to him that he was chosen of God to call out and to go be at war with the Midianites. Here's what he said. Verse 15, chapter 6. And he said unto him, who said to who? Gideon said to God, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now, you know the story. If anybody had a reason to feel intimidated, surely it would have been Gideon, wouldn't you think? I mean, God called him out of a threshing floor, of a farmer, you might say, a nobody to the world, probably not even a warlike trained man at all. And God calls him out because, you see, the Midianites had invaded Canaan, a formidable force, no doubt. They were huge. Soldiers and war frames and all kinds of things. They had it. Well, how did in the world did Gideon, with God's help, turn his intimidation into great inspiration? How was he able to conquer that intimidation that he faced? Now, listen. In Judges 6 and Judges 7, those chapters prior to where we just read, the Midianites had invaded Canaan. Now God calls out a man, a nobody, a Gideon, and says, Gideon, I want you to go to war with the Midianites, and you're going to have the victory. Listen to Gideon's words to God. Lord, I'm a nobody. Lord, I'm nobody. And Lord, I'm the weakest man in the weakest tribe of all the 12 tribes of Judah, or Israel, Manasseh, I'm the weakest man in the weakest tribe, and I'm the weakest man in my family of all the people in Israel. And Lord, you're calling me. Could you put yourself in Gideon's place? Just almost think about it. As far as the world's concerned, all of us, you're not a nobody's. What if God put His hand on you? God had a very special work for you to do. And you looked out there and you looked like old Gideon did. And you saw the host of all those Midianites. They were as vast as the desert, as many as the sands of the sea. Everywhere he turned, he saw warlike soldiers. He saw domination. He saw intimidation. Why in the world would you not expect him to be intimidated? Wouldn't you be? Surely he was. Well, he faced a vast, vast host of enemies. Now, he could almost look out as far as he could see to the horizon. He could see Midianites, soldiers in battle array, ready to do battery. Well, he was the call to defeat them. God said, you're going to have the victory. Look at his warlike machine. He didn't even have a sword nor a shield. Yet God said, you go out there and you're going to defeat those Midianites. How do you suppose he felt? He hadn't gathered up an army. He wasn't a warlike man. Didn't have any weapons of war. No strategy by which to defeat the enemy. But yet God said, you're going to defeat them. What if God did the same thing to you or to me? Look at the world around us today. Maybe there's something in particular you could pull out and look at. And God called you and said, I want you to straighten this matter out. And you're going to have the victory. Yet they're so well fortified that you see no way possible that you could get a victory over them. Yet God said, you're going to have the victory. So Gideon has all these men gathered up for war. And you know the story, how that God kept disqualifying so many and so many from thousands. He reduced Gideon's soldiers to 300. To 300 men against an unnumbered host of enemy. But you see, God told Gideon, I got a plan. Gideon, I got a strategy whereby you're going to defeat these men, these armies. And I'm going to tell you what it is. And if you go along with what I want you to do, you're going to have the victory. So you take these 300 men, I'm just kind of surveying the story. We go back and read it. It's wonderful reading. You take these 300 men, and at nighttime, Gideon, you strategically, like these are the armies, he said, you strategically, you place your men all around them on every side in the night. And you tell these men to take pitchers, clay pitchers, and a light inside, and their sword. And Gideon, you tell them when they all get into place, when they hear the trumpet sound, they're to break those pitchers, expose those lights, and they're all to shout with one accord, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And the trumpet sounded, they broke the pitchers, shined the lights, and lo and behold, the Midianites were so confounded, so confused, they thought they were just surrounded by a great host of Israeli warriors. And the Bible says they were so discomfited, they were so confused, they fled in every direction. And Israel was saved that day. Now listen, it was simply because Gideon obeyed God's word. Do you think he could have defeated these Midianites without God's help? No. No way. We can't defeat our enemies today without God's strategy and without God's plan. And here's God's strategy right here. Here's God's plan. And the last time I looked and read, we've already got the victory. Paul wrote about it. Paul said, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So all we have to do is what Gideon did. Get to know what the strategy is. Get in with God's plan. Obey the Lord and you'll see victory. Gideon did. Well, he had no resources. no army, no warlike tools. All he had was God. Listen, all you need is God. I've heard the old saying many times, well, you and God make a majority. No, that's not right. God makes a majority with or without me, amen? And with or without you, he's still a majority in all things and all times. Well, he conquers the enemy. He turns his intimidation to inspiration, and he turned his tables on his enemy, and God intimidated them, and they fled for their lives, and Gideon had a resounding victory for the Lord. His conquering of his intimidation was because he obeyed the Lord's strategy, the Word of God. Now, I want to close with this thought. How do you change your intimidation today to inspiration? Well, remember again, the 10 Hebrew spies never set foot in Canaan. That whole generation never set foot in Canaan because they were intimidated by fear and what they saw and didn't believe God for the victory. They projected this into their future, and they failed. Gideon saw some of the same things that they saw, a great host, vast host against him. But on the other hand, Gideon projected into his future God's plan and God's word, and he got the victory. Listen, how do you change intimidation today to inspiration? There's a way. If you don't know the verses, you ought to memorize them. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul writes and he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the second verse says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Have you ever known God's will to be anything but good and perfect and acceptable? It's always that way. That's the way you change intimidation today to inspiration. It's in the battleship. That battle goes on in the mind. Listen, these who decided to walk by faith had the victory. Gideon did. The two did. Those who walked by sight were defeated. The other 10 and the whole generation except Joshua and Caleb. The world that you and I live in just change. It's in a constant state of flow. It changes every day or so. Something new, something different, something brand new you never heard of before. It's constantly changing. The Word of God never changes. It has never changed. It's not going to change today. It doesn't matter what people try to do today to reverse some things and take things out of context and do all kind of crazy things. The Word of God's constant. The Word of God's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Peter writes and says, it's going to last forever. This is God's strategy. This is God's plan. Get into the plan of God and the strategy of God. And God's given us three things to help us. He's given us power, love, and a strong mind. Listen to me. If any one of these three things is missing in your life, the power of God, strong mind, and love, you're going to be defeated. But if you have those things as God gives us, you will have the victory. Pardon me. Don't be intimidated by the things you see and hear today. Things like, open up your checkbook and you look, oh my, I got more month left than I got money. What am I going to do? Intimidated. What about things like when you go to the doctor and he comes out and sits down in the conference room with you and he gives you some news that you weren't expecting and news you didn't really want to hear. It's intimidating, isn't it? What do you do? When you look at the news, and I don't know, you take the news with a grain of salt, but when you see the news and world events, it can be intimidating if you let it. And you think about your family, your children, your loved ones, and their futures, and I have a great grandson, I have a great concern for what he's going to have to grow up in if the Lord tarries his coming and the world continues as it's going, I know it will. What are our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren going to have to face when they get to be older adults, if time exists? All these things are certainly potential intimidators. Can I get a witness? Sure they are. Yet listen, they can be, like Gideon, moments of inspiration when we learn to put our faith and our trust in our Lord and continue on to walk by faith, the same faith that you put in Jesus to save you. Let that same faith take you right on through. You can't walk by sight. You know why? I can't see very far in front of my nose. I can't see tomorrow. I can't even see when it gets dark tonight. But I'm trusting one who can and one who does. Gideon trusted God. And you see the victory. The 10 spies didn't. And they were all defeated in the whole generation. The two, Joshua and Caleb, lived and were able to set foot in the promised land. So, the bottom line is this. Don't be intimidated by the world or anything that happens in the world. Let that intimidation be changed to inspiration to trust the Lord and continue to walk by faith. Amen.